All right, let's go to Proverbs tonight. I grew up every Thursday in school. We were taught the book of Proverbs. My dad is still doing it. And so I love the book of Proverbs because of that. And the great thing about the book of Proverbs is you don't have to read the entire chapter to get your face ripped off. You know, a lot of times you got to read 15 verses to get context and get the whole thought. Not in Proverbs. You're a loser in one verse and one verse only. And that's pretty much how it goes down. So I like Proverbs because it doesn't take long. I believe you should every day read a proverb. I believe that's good for you. Simply because as much as we don't pay attention and we fall asleep in our other parts of our Bible reading, you can get something out of one verse in Proverbs and help you through your day. On the subject of sit down and stand up, at a service in Highland Park, Illinois, it was announced, please be seated for our final hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. On instructions impossible to follow, judge to prosecutor, you cannot ask that witness what he was told by someone else. What is that called? Yeah, it's called hearsay. If you want that evidence in, you will have to get it some other way. Prosecutor to witness. Very well then, Mr. Davies. Without telling me what he said to you, what did he tell you to say? You might have to think about that a while. In California, a lady called the police, and she said that while she was in the bathroom, someone snuck into her house and vomited on her stove. It's an odd thing, yes? Yeah. The deputy that reported that came to the house said that it appeared to be cooking grease on the stove. I'm not going to say that she was blonde, but I'm just going to say that it was a good possibility that she was. Proverbs chapter 29. My life verse is Proverbs 29:25. We're not going to preach out of that. But it's a good verse. It's a verse when I was 17 years old that I needed, and the Lord gave it to me in a timely fashion as a young man trying to figure out where I was going and who I was going to hang out with, and kind of gives you the definition of what it means to be cool. And every teenager needs that because every teenager thinks that they're cool. When in fact, we all know that they're not at all. They still think so, especially if it's mom and dad telling them they're not. And it just doesn't work very well. Proverbs chapter 29, let's go to verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I'd like to preach you tonight on what's your vision. Here we are at the end of February. Just at the stamp of a finger, we find ourselves at the end of the second month of the year. And so my question would be, I wonder how you're doing in your best year for Jesus Christ. You are a part of Hope Baptist Church. If you're not, you're an oddity on a Sunday night to be here, to say that, because generally Sunday night crowds are homegrown and hometown people. What is your vision? If you're not where you wanted to be, at this point in the year, it's only for a couple of reasons. Number one, you didn't plan on being anywhere. Or number two, you didn't have a vision on where you were going to go. It's hard to get mad at being somewhere. He'll be fine. He will be fine. He will live to see tomorrow. Promise you. He will see you tomorrow. It's because you didn't have a vision. You had no plans on where to go and how you were going to get there. Businesses fail all the time because the guy starting the business didn't have a vision. He didn't have a plan on where to go. We have to be careful as a church not to get ourselves too close to a business plan. Your purpose-driven life and your purpose-driven church is much that way. Actually, a lot that way. And so their whole plan is basically for the year, it's a business plan. It is how to make the church grow. Not that we're looking to see people saved. Not that we're looking to see God's people encouraged. And not that we're looking to get more money on the mission field. But we need to see the business grow. We at Hope Baptist Church, we want to see the church grow. The business end of things, if taken care of correctly and rightly, God will take care of all of that. And He has for 33 years. You sit here tonight not because Pastor Sal 33 years ago had a great business plan. He didn't have a business plan. He had faith in a God that said that He would build His church. That was the vision. So here we are in February of 2012. I will turn 32 this year. I've already tried out several walkers just to fitting, you know, how I'm going to do. Oh, it's just too fun because preacher he's fun to be around, isn't he? I told him the other day, I said, listen, I said, what are you going to do when you actually get old? It's going to be bad. I don't know if I can handle to be around him much. You know, it's like when he actually does get old. And at the age of 32, and I think every man, once you hit 30, you begin to look at where you're at in your life and where you're going to go. And as it was so well preached this morning, it's not about where you're at today. It's about where you're going to finish. Today means what today means in the context of today. But really, tomorrow, most of you won't think about today tomorrow. Not going to happen. You're going to be worried about tomorrow. And then the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. So the question is, what is your vision? This verse in Proverbs 29 is generally used in a missions connotation. And as well, it should be. Because without the preaching of the Word of God, and without the revelation of God to His people, people will perish. Without witnessing, people will perish. But what in your life this year will perish because you don't have a vision? I will probably mainly preach to men tonight. I'll bring the ladies in at a couple points. But ladies, you are not supposed to lead your home. If you're a single mom, if you lead your home, you will do so with manly qualities. And I know that's unpopular, but that's what it is. God did not build you, ma'am, to lead. He built you to follow. And as well as there are many good women leaders, that's not how God intended it to be. And we'll look at that tonight. But where is your vision? What are you as a man looking to have happen in your life? Because I know this. If I will allow God to work in my life, that automatically has an effect on my marriage and on my home and on my ministry. So if I don't have a vision for where I want God to take me this year, all of those things are affected. All of those things become just what they are. All of those things become the day-to-day grind, and I'm just getting through, and I'm not even really doing my best. I'm just doing. What a great marriage that would be if you just, you know, whatever, you just did. What a great family life that would be if you just, you know, whatever, you just got through the day, you know, just put up with the kids for another 2 hours before they go to bed. What is your church existence if all you do is just, well, I just got to sit through another service. Well, I just got to go teach the Sunday school class. Hey, well, I just got to go, well, got Master Club tonight, let's just get in there. I've got nursery tonight, got to go in there and take care of those kids. What's your vision? What do you want to see God do in your life? And maybe it's nothing. I don't know. Maybe that's your vision. You don't have one. And if that's the case, come December of this year, you will get exactly that. Everybody hated, and probably still does, Steve Jobs. Everybody hates Bill Gates. Why? Come on, somebody give me the answer. Why? Because they're rich. Why are they rich? They had a vision. They saw something moving forward in the area of technology, and they jumped on board. Now, we don't like that because we didn't think of it, and it wasn't our idea, and we're not reaping the benefits thereof. And we do the same thing in the spiritual realm. You watch other people in this church move forward for God, and you watch God work in their lives, and you watch them shed tears, and you watch God work in their life, and you watch the vocal pools go to Scotland, and, No. Here's some people that had a vision. And they allowed God to take them wherever He wanted them to go. For them, it was Scotland. Our problem is a lot of times we don't want a vision because we don't know yet where the vision will take us. We don't want to let God just do. We don't want to give God the open door. But where there is no vision, the people perish. I wonder what your marriage and your home and your functionality in Hope Baptist Church will be at the end of this year if you don't have a vision. There are people, I was talking to someone this morning right after church, there are people that were here when we built this building that are no longer here. Not because we're more spiritual, not because they're wicked and ungodly, but simply because they didn't have a vision of where they wanted to go with God. And they didn't get on board with what the vision of Hope Baptist Church was. So they just came, and if you come long enough just because you're here, that will eventually stop. You have to have a vision of where you want God to take you. Ronald Reagan said this, to grasp and hold a vision, that is the very essence of successful leadership. Where do you want to go? If you have a vision, you know where you want to go. If you, at the beginning of this year, sat down with you and your wife or your family or you and just God, and you decided you wanted to accomplish these things spiritually in your life, you have a vision of where you want to go. And right now, at the end of February, you know where you're at. And you know what goals that you set for yourself. Because we heard this morning, and I think explained very well, and I've been in church almost 32 years, and I've never heard that verse explained like that before. That it is just your race. It ain't anybody else's race. You know where you're at in your race. And listen, my vision is to finish my race. That's my vision. Say, how are you going to finish? I don't know. I might be the guy falling over the line. But I'm going to finish. That is my vision. I might be bumped and scraped and poked and prodded along, but I'm going to finish. What is your vision? It was once said that, I think it was Lou Holtz, and Lou Holtz said this. If you are bored with life and you don't get up every morning with a burning desire to do things, you don't have enough goals. When you get up tomorrow morning, what will you be looking to accomplish in your life? Or do you just get out of bed and just say, well, here's another day. What are you going to accomplish for God? You say, well, I've never led anyone to Christ. There's a reason for that. You don't have a vision for that. Well, I've never read through my Bible. There's a reason for that. You don't have a vision for it. What is your vision? John Sculley, the former CEO of Pepsi, said the future belongs to those who see possibilities before they become obvious. Become someone who is able to see things that are just a possibility in the future. That's why Bill Gates has the money he has today. Because he saw something way in the future. And he jumped on it today. The reason you're not anywhere closer to God than what you were last year is because you don't have a vision for it. And I wonder how you are doing spiritually and how your family is doing. And then I wonder how your functionality with your family in this church is doing. I talked to the teenagers this morning about unity and how it's so easy for them to feel, oh, nobody likes me. The biggest reason that happens is because they don't come and involve themselves. If you don't come and involve yourselves, and if you're not here in the services, and you don't stay for fellowships, and you don't come to special meetings, don't sit on the sides and complain that you don't know anybody, and nobody talks to you, and you don't have any friends. What do you expect to happen? You have to put yourself in a place where you can talk to people. That has to happen. I know it seems like that I love to talk to everybody. I understand that. You can ask my wife, I'd rather not talk another day my whole life. Most days, if she's upset at me, that's because why? Well, you just haven't said anything the past 2 hours. Uh-huh. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? I didn't have anything to say. Yeah. I'm just going to make stuff up. I do that when I preach. I just say, just make stuff up. You just can't sit there by yourself, feeling sorry for yourself, and then get mad and, well, just nobody talks to me. If you don't have a vision, and because I think homiletically, I was researching and studying and came up with a couple words that if you don't have a vision, you probably have this. If you don't have vision, you probably have provision for the flesh. Romans 13:14 says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you don't have a vision, there's provision for the flesh in there. Because in my vision for what I want my walk to be, and in my vision for where I want these kids to be and the things that I want them to know and the things that we're going to teach them this year, there's no provision for the flesh. And if the flesh is given provision, my vision fades away. It's either my vision in the forefront and I'm trying to follow and go after what I and God sat down at the beginning of the year and decided we were going to go and what we were going to do. The only reason that gets messed up is if my flesh gets in the way. Some of you are behind in Bible reading because your flesh got in the way. Simply put, your flesh. You gave provision to the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And we spiritualize it and we make ourselves feel better about ourselves or why we failed, but it still is what it is. You just didn't have vision enough to be able to push forward and get the job done. If you don't have a vision, you have provision for the flesh, then you also have divisions because of your flesh. 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I have enjoyed very much the idea of a theme for the year. It has helped me tremendously, and I believe if you ask Pastor Sal that it has helped him in his preaching to be more focused and on point in a particular area, and as human beings, that helps you and I. When the creators of Blue's Clues, I believe they were one of the first ones to do this, when they began to make their cartoon, they didn't make a cartoon for every day of the week. They made one cartoon a week. And they did that because they knew that that age of kids likes the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And so for 3 months, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about your walk with God. Why? Because you need a walk with God. And maybe you messed up this week, and maybe you tripped up this week, and maybe your vision got a little bit blurred this week. But guess what? It's going to be mentioned again. And you get a chance to get back on track. What's your vision? What is vision? Vision is the act or power of anticipating that which will or may come to be. It might not be yet. It might not be something that you don't get to see for 9, 10, 11 years. How many of you prayed for someone in your family to get saved for more than 5 years? Raise your hand. That's vision. That's just vision of you praying. You just pray and you pray and you pray. You say, when's it going to happen? Don't know. Don't know. But the vision is to pray. Why? Because you have something that you want to see God accomplish in your life. And the same thing happens with spiritual matters. When I think of vision, I think of an entrepreneur, which is a person who organizes and manages any undertaking, usually with considerable initiative and risk. And that word initiative and risk is the reason why we don't have or want a vision. Because that involves work. A lot of times people, we hear the speech every once in a while when people come in, well, you know, we don't join churches. That's just not biblical. Well, you know, that'll take 5 minutes to prove you wrong, but, you know, you're just going to argue till you're blue in the face anyways. The reason we don't want to be involved or be deeply involved is because we don't like accountability. Being a member of a church involves accountability. When someone calls and said, hey, I missed you, where were you? Well, what's your stinking problem, man? I don't got a problem. Just calling to say howdy. Say I missed you. Making sure you weren't dead. You know, a lot of things come to mind. You know. But some people are opposed to such things. Why? Because they're their own person. They are the rogue lion looking for a pride. That's what they are. They're a rogue lion looking for a pride. They do things their way. They got their own way that they roll. Their own way that they take care of things. No, you just don't like to be accountable. And that's why we don't like to be. Maybe you're a member, but you have not gotten involved in anything. Why? Because you don't want to be really accountable. What's your vision this year? What will you allow God to do in your life? What have you and God, maybe you haven't sat down with God and decided where you're going to be at the end of this year. Maybe that's something you need to do. Because it's not just going to magically happen. You're not going to find yourself at the end of the year going, man, look at this. I am so much more spiritual than I was in February. No. Because you'll do the same thing you're doing right now, which is minimal. You do the minimum amount that you need to do to be able to get done what you need to get done. No vision. What is your vision? What things do you want to see God do in your life? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Look at three areas tonight in your life that you need to have vision for. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse number 10. Says this, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What's your vision for the potential in your walk? What's your vision for the potential in your walk? You are supposed to be doing your best every day to walk with God according to His rules, not your rules. And His rules are laid out in this book. And you're supposed to be doing your best to walk with Him and to walk worthy of that vocation that He has called you to do. And listen, He has called you to do something different than He's called me to do. You have a different task. That's why you're running your race by yourself and I'm running mine by myself. Because to compare you to me is to compare two things that can't even be compared. Because they're not close to being the same. Three things in your walk. Number one, for the potential in your walk, you need to have it where it is in a pleasing manner. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Listen, when you get up in the morning, the goal of the day ought to be to please your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That ought to be the goal. That ought to be the one thing that you have in common with everybody else in this room. No matter what it is, whether it's just being faithful in your Bible reading at the beginning of the day and in prayer, it's just going to work and working that just totally awesome, exciting, fantastic job that you have, that you love more than life itself, and you would stay there all day if you could. Amen. That job. You know the job I'm talking about. You are supposed to go to that job and work that job in a pleasing manner to the Lord. What is your vision for the potential in your walk? Do you know what the potential in your walk of just being a faithful employee is? It is endless. It is endless, the possibilities of you just being to work on time and you doing... Listen, you don't even have to go above board anymore. You just got to show up and do your job. You're like, you're employee of the year. We're giving you the rest of the whole year. You're great. I'm just doing my job. That shows you what you're working up against. It is supposed to be in a pleasing manner. My object of my day ought to be to please my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only in a pleasing manner, but in fruitfulness. He said, fruitful in every good work. It ought to be something that everybody else sees. Everybody should know that you walk with God. It ought to be obvious. But that will never happen if I don't have vision for that to take place. Listen, you walking with God is not you coming to church. Now, you walking with God is not coming to men's prayer. You walking with God is not coming to ladies' fellowships. You walking with God is you walking with Him every day, through the day, at night before you go to bed. That is you walking with God. That's why it is a personal race. That's why God's going to judge you on your race. He's going to judge you on your walk. And I'm supposed to be pleasing to Him, and I'm also supposed to be fruitful. I'm supposed to have some things at the end of this race that I can get a crown for. That's the whole idea. But if I don't have a vision of where I'm going, and I don't have a vision of maybe what I want to get at the end of this, listen, this life is not about getting things on this earth. But what is your vision of heaven someday? And that is tied into your walk. What do you see heaven as? Some dry, boring place where you get to sing all the time and you shout, you know. What do you see? What do you think about when you think about heaven? What is your vision of that? Listen, that all ties into your walk. That all ties into being pleasing. Listen, to one way to help you be pleasing to God is think about heaven. One way to be fruitful to Him and then desire and push forward is to be and have a mindset of heaven. But we get so lost in this world that we randomly and rarely think about heaven. Thomas Edison said this, vision without execution is hallucination. Well, I'm going to do this. Well, one day, you know, everybody knows somebody like that. Well, one day, that one day is like tomorrow. Never comes. Well, I'm going to do great things for God. No, you're not. Absolutely not. You never will. Because you don't have a vision for it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. For your potential in your walk, it needs to be in a pleasing manner in fruitfulness. And then it needs to be increasing in the knowledge of God. You need to be going somewhere in your knowledge of God. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Yes, that's true. But where is your knowledge of the things of God after 10 years of being saved? The preacher mentioned this morning taking notes. You ought to take notes. You ought to take notes like a madman and a madwoman. Write down everything you can write. Now sometimes you go back and you look at it and you're like, well, I don't know what that means. But you got it. Whatever it was, you got it. And it's in writing. You ought to take notes. Why? Because that helps you remember. If you put it on the paper, you'll remember it. And in the moments where you're struggling with whatever it is, God will remind you that you wrote it down. And you'll have it in your hand. You need to increase in the knowledge of God. Someone said this, where you come from is not nearly as important as where you're going. Are you going somewhere in your knowledge of God? Are you learning things? Are you allowing God to add to that knowledge and to work in your head and in your heart? If you don't have a vision, that'll never happen. Some of you need to come to the Institute. One or two classes a year. Learn where your Bible came from. Learn why you have a King James Bible. And learn it, not just, well, my preacher says, and you know, Brother Jeffrey, he said this, and then, can you just call him and ask him? No, you need to know. But if I don't have a vision for it, it'll never happen because I know this, that we're all just too busy, aren't we? We're all just too busy to be able to increase in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Yet we have time enough to keep up with the latest technology and to learn those things and to understand those things. And we know stats for sports teams. And at your job, you had to memorize whatever manual it was for whatever thing you had to work on, and you didn't have a problem memorizing that. But when it comes to your knowledge of God, that gets shoved to the side. Why? No vision. You don't have a vision for the things of God, therefore, you're just not going to have them. It's not something that after 15 years, God flips a switch, and all of a sudden you have all this godly wisdom. You can just share it with everyone. No, Me knowing and having a knowledge and increasing in the knowledge of God is a daily task. Your preacher learns things every week, every day about God that he didn't know before. Why? Because he is always looking and he's always learning and he's always reading. Why? Because this increasing in the knowledge of God isn't something that comes to a stop. After 30 years, you don't just automatically know everything there is to know. But if I don't have a vision for it, where are you going to be in 2 months from today, right now, in your knowledge of God right now? Where are you going to be in 2 months? You going to know any more? You going to have any more verses up here? You going to have a better witness? Dad, you ought to be able to answer your kids when they ask you Bible questions. You ought to be able to handle the little kids, okay, but when those teenagers come up with questions, you better be able to answer them. Amen, amen, amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. For the potential in your walk, where's your vision for that? Well, I'm just walking with God. Well, where are you going? Where's the end of this? Preacher was making fun of NASCAR this morning. I got offended. Did. I was offended. There's a goal. It takes a long time to get there. What's your goal? What's your vision? What do you want to do? God is not happy with you existing. And here we are in 2012, and your preacher's vision for this year, and you're a member of Hope Baptist Church, is our best year for Jesus Christ. How are we doing? How are you doing? Because it is your race. It's not my race. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse number 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their own wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are the members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. What's your vision this year for the potential in your family? That only rests in one area. And that is on Dad's shoulders. Are you as the husband? Your potential in your family, where they're going to be at the end of this year, is all in your hands. You can blame your wife all you want. God's not going to ask her about it when you get to heaven. He's going to ask you. So, Dad, what's your vision? What is your vision? Where are you going to be at the end of this year? What are your kids going to know? What new things are you going to put into place in your home? Maybe what things are you going to take out in your home? What's your vision? Normally we exist when it comes to home life. And we don't like to think of spiritual things, but that's the number one place that we need to think of spiritual things. And you need to have a vision of where you're going and what your family is going to be and where you're going to be. What's your vision? What's your vision for the potential in your family? There's potential in your home that your kids will serve God someday, and your boys will be a better man than you'll ever be, and your daughters will marry somebody and be able to serve the Lord. Why? Because you're raising them in an environment that will produce that. But you have to grasp onto that and understand that there's potential there that you form and that you frame. What's your vision? What do you want to see? When you come to December of this year, what do you want to see in your home? Where are you going to be? What are your kids going to know? Because you, as a dad, taught them. What conversations are you going to have? What subjects are you going to cover? What things are you going to talk about with your kids? Maybe it's something as just simply as having devotions with them, praying with them. Maybe it's having devotions with your wife. Maybe it's praying with your wife. Maybe it's just talking about the messages, the Sunday school lessons, the Master Club lessons. Maybe it's simply just making sure they know their verses. It's quiet. Where are we going to be? We can't just exist and get somewhere. It just doesn't happen. I can't just be. And because I'm Pastor Dave, my kids, I don't even have to worry about them. I really don't even discipline my kids, rarely. Because I'm an assistant pastor, therefore they're going to turn out for God and do great things. That's stupid. It is hard work. It is effort. And it is me, as a dad and as a husband, having a vision of what I want my home to be and where I want my home to go. Dad, what is your vision? Verse number 25 in Ephesians 5 says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, I'm sorry, that's 24. Husbands, love your wives, verse 25, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Give you five questions, Dad. When was the last time you gave yourself? When was the last time you gave yourself? Christ gave himself to the church. The reason our homes and families in America are a mess is because we have dads that are worried about golf and bowling and fantasy football and all these other things that don't matter. And they're worried about doing this with the guys and going here with the guys and mom's going here with the girls and going there with the girls. Listen, you got married, you became one, then you had kids. There's your responsibility. I don't feel bad for you if you're going here and she's going there and your kids are a mess and then, oh, what are we going to do? You had the opportunity to do it the right way. But your problem was you didn't have a vision. What's your vision? When was the last time you gave yourself? Verse 26, he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water, by the word. I give myself as a dad, and I put myself to the side, and I give up things in my life. Why? Because one day I'm going to have to present my home to God. What's the spiritual condition of your home tonight? If we were to ask kids that are old enough, you know, we could ask any kid and be Bill Cosby and get all kinds of weird answers. But if I were to come over here and ask these kids what the spiritual condition of your home is, what answer would I get? Because they're gonna tell me the truth. You'll lie to me. I'll lie to you. Why? Because we're adults. That's what we do. We don't want to look bad. They don't care. They will tell me exactly what it is. Dad, that comes back and falls on you. That is your responsibility. You draw the lines. You make the demands. You put the things out there that need to happen. Christ gave, why? Because he wanted to sanctify and cleanse it. He wanted to make sure his home was a clean home and his church was a clean church. Dad, how's your home? Is God pleased with the condition of your home tonight? Listen, you're the only one that's going to have a vision. I can't have a vision for your home. I can't have a vision for your kids. I can't have a vision for your marriage. Those are not my responsibilities. So here we are, and we're going to have our best year for God and wonderful, but wouldn't it be sad if the only thing that God affected in my life was simply me, and I had the best year for God, and my family's a mess by the end of the year, but I had a good year. I was so focused, and I was in this ministry, and I was over here, and I was doing this, and I was doing this, and I was doing this, and I was doing this. And the whole year, because I was doing spiritual things, I shoved my family to the side. And because there are spiritual things, then God's not going to take care of it. That's your job. What's your vision? I know this isn't popular, and I know this isn't in the magic happy fun bag of preaching, but it's truth. And if we are going to have the best year that we could ever have for Jesus Christ, it's going to have to start at home, because we all bring our homes here. And our homes make up Hope Baptist Church. And if your home is terrible, it's going to have an effect on Hope Baptist Church. If your teenagers are rotten and rebellious and disrespectful, that's going to have an effect on our rest of our teenagers. If your little kids are rotten and disruptive, it's going to have an effect on the things that we're trying to do with them on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. It's going to have an effect on that. If you are not right with God and you come into this room, you will have an effect. And the reason all of those things happen is because we have no vision. We don't know where we're going. We're here, and we're in our pew, and we have our Bible, but we don't have a vision of where we're going. At the end of this year, where would you like to see your home? I promise you this, if you, as a dad, would read and pray with your wife, and read and pray with your kids, by the end of this year, there will be a profound difference in your home. Promise. Because what that does is every day, even if you don't do it every day, you do it 3-4 times a week, that'll cause you to stop at home and focus on something spiritual. Because generally, here's what we do. And all the spirituality is gone out the window. And there's never any time where your kids know of anything spiritual until they come here. And what they're going to grow up learning is that spiritual things happen at church. And home is a mess. That's what they're going to learn. Verse 27. He said that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. What if you had to present your family tonight? What if God judged you on your family tonight? Dad, where would you be? Verse 29, he says, "For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." When was the last time you nourished and cherished your kids and your wife? Listen, having a good marriage is hard work. It is hard work. It is everyday work. It is focus. Everyday focus. Man, it's focus. Why? Because I care about me. I get up in the morning, I want coffee. If I don't have coffee, get out of my way. I want coffee. Amen. And when I come home, you know, I like to decompress, right? From work. Here's the problem. My kids have been waiting all day for me to come home. And they don't understand that Dad was overwhelmed or had a lot on his brain or whatever. And so when I walk in the door, me decompressing means that I'm ripping their faces off. That's what that means. What's your vision? What do you want your home to be? You control where it's going to be and where it's going to go, and I don't care how old your kids are, you can make changes. You can switch things up. It's still quiet in here. Go to chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." When was the last time you nurtured? The word nurture means to support, encourage, as during the period of training or development. There is time for discipline, yeah. Lots of time for discipline. My house, we discipline all the time. But at the same time, there's the opposite side of it, too. Where at the end of that thing, your discipline needs to stop at the time when it's done. It's not something that needs to be brought up for 2 days. When it's done, it's done. Why? Because then the nurturing comes into play. How do I develop someone into someone that everybody else is going to want to be around if I'm beating them up over the stuff that they're doing for weeks at a time? The reason people grow up in homes and women grow up in homes where their dad beats them and they go and find somebody else that beats them, why? Because that's all they know, and to them that's normal. And it's a sad statistic, but it's a high statistic nonetheless, that if you were beaten, you're going to marry somebody that beat you, and it makes no sense to me at all. But that's normal. And just because I'm in church and I put my kids in Sunday school and we're here all the time does not mean that I'm going to have people that leave my home that are functional Christians. It doesn't mean it. There is work, there is nurturing, there is admonition, there is encouragement. You ought to do more encouraging than you do disciplining. That's a quiet one on that one. You ought to do more encouraging than disciplining. Why? Because the encouragement's going to go farther. The encouragement will go farther in their life. Because disciplining in my house lasts like 5 minutes. And if all I do is discipline and I don't encourage, I find I discipline more. Amen. What's your vision? What's your vision for the potential in your walk? What's the vision for the potential in your family? Then what's the vision for the potential in your church? Go to Romans chapter 1. Here we are. We all come together. We meet here several times a week. Why? Because we want to see God do things in our homes and in our lives. That's the reason. You need to preach that. You're wicked. You're ungodly. You need your face ripped off. You need to be told exactly what you are. And then you need some teaching to understand how to move forward. So if I'm going to have the best year I've ever had for Jesus Christ, and I'm going to focus on my walk and on my family, then what about my church? What about when you come here? What's your vision for when you come here? What do you want to see God accomplish through you at Hope Baptist Church this year? What things could you be involved in that you're not? Romans chapter 1. That is the wrong verse altogether. Hold on. I think I know what I want. Hold on. Commercial break. Romans 16:1. I flipped it. Romans 16:1. The Apostle Paul, here in Romans 16, verse 1, says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. What is your vision for the potential in your church? Number one, you're going to need to be a servant. If you are going to be involved in this church setting, you're going to have to realize, number one, that it's not about you. It has nothing to do with you. And we don't like that. We don't like that at all. We want it to be about us. And we want everybody to know what we've done. We do. Human nature, that's what we want. We want to people, everybody to know that I did this, I was involved in this. Me, right over here. I'm humble, but you know, it was me. It was me. Did it. Because I love the Lord. Because I love the Lord. That's why I did it. That's not the attitude that needs to be brought if I have the proper vision. The proper vision says, I just want to serve. Where can I serve? Can I do anything? Could I be involved anywhere? Could I help with something? The guys in the snow crew this year have gotten off rather easily. You know, it's just pretty easy. I actually woke up this morning at like 5:20. It was just like a light bulb, snow crew. And I thought, snow crew, whatever. And I went back to sleep. Oh, that's ridiculous. But when that stuff comes around, who really wants to shovel snow? I don't. I don't like shoveling snow at all. I had to shovel it once this year, and it was horrible. I loathed every minute of it. I loathed it because my snowblower wouldn't start. That's really why I loathed it. But that was my problem because I didn't have vision for getting it ready to go. You know. Someone once said, vision is the art of seeing the invisible. If you're going to be a servant, it means that you're invisible. What could you be involved in? What could you do that no one knows about? That's the best ministry to be involved in. That nobody knows. nobody ever sees. It's just you serving God. It's just you getting beat up every Wednesday night in Master Club and going home and having to soak in a hot tub for 3 hours after you get home because you're so... Just you serving God. Nobody knows. Nobody mentions anything. It's that servant attitude. It's me coming because I want to do this, because I want to do something for God in this church. What's your vision? Is your vision to come and enjoy everything else that everybody else does? We all have a vision of what the sound room should be, don't we? We do. Every one of you has a vision for what the sound room needs to be. Do you know how I know it? Hey, Bill, do something that makes a really loud noise. No, I'm teasing. I'm totally teasing. He could. Because when a loud noise happens, tell me what happens. You look. Why do you look? You going to go up there and fix it? We got a vision. Who's up there? Oh, it's Bill. Yeah, everything bad happens when Bill's up there. That's just the way it goes. Bill's up there. You know, here's somebody else. Everything can go fine. You know, you ever hear the loud popping sound anytime the preacher's preaching? Yeah. We don't know what that is. Just so you know, when you hear that, you don't need to look up there because they didn't do anything. They're playing solitaire on the computer, so they have no idea. Or Angry Birds on the phone, you know. Either one. They don't know. What's your vision? What could you be involved in? What could you become a part of? What's your vision? Just being a servant. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hopefully I wrote this one down correctly. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12. It says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Now, context here is Paul dealing with tongues. But this verse here, he mentions two things. He says, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts. What spiritual gifts do you have? You ought to be a servant, but what spiritual gifts do you have that you could use in this church? What things do you do well that nobody else knows that you do well, but you could use them to serve God here? George Lucas said, dreams are extremely important. You can't do it unless you can imagine it. Do you ever imagine yourself doing something for God? Do you ever have anybody who is a preacher and is called to preach? You have visions in your head of how you preach. You are Charles Spurgeon. Yes, you are. And every outline you have, millions. They come from the neighborhoods to get saved. Because why? You have a vision for what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. 90% of the time you get up and say it totally different than what you had a vision for what saying it. But anyways, it was still a good vision. At least you had a thought of what you wanted to say. What's your vision? What spiritual gift do you have that you could use? Man, it's quiet. I don't mean to be quiet. I'm not being mean. Just asking. What's your vision? Don't get to the end of 2012 and say, well, nothing spiritual happened in my life. There's a reason for that. Well, I didn't get any closer to God this year. There's a reason for that. Because you didn't have a vision to do so. Then the end of the verse, he says, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. For the potential in your church, there's that seeking of excellence. Whatever you're doing, you ought to want to do the best that you could do. Whatever you're involved in, you ought to want to do the best. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you ought to be the best Sunday school teacher that there is on planet Earth. I didn't get one lousy amen out of that. You ought to. You ought to have time and effort. And listen, you got to be able to go out of the box and do weird, crazy things, stupid things. Why? Because that's the stuff those kids will remember. They're not going to remember you droning on about the lesson. Just saying. It was like 2 months ago, I was sick. And I went up and I preached in Sunday school, and I'm preaching going, this is going nowhere. I could just tell. I was sicker than the dog. And Mateo actually spotted it. He said to his mom, Pastor Dave just didn't, he's just kind of off today. You got to be able to know, number one, what you're doing, have the study time, but seeking that excellence. Whatever you're involved in, here's what we get used to. We get used to being here, and we get used to what we do. And so we come, and after a while, you just do. This is not a union. We expect excellence. Amen. Amen. We desire the best. Why? Because God deserves the best. Anything that you do in a church setting, you ought to want to do your the best. Your best foot forward. Why? Because it is for God. Someone once said the trouble with not having a goal is that you can spend your life running up and down the field and never scoring. You ever meet somebody who played high school basketball? And they were a great high school basketball player. They were just incredible. And the further you dig and the more you listen, and they actually sat on the bench the whole time and they never really got in the game. But their stories, they're good, I'm telling you. Because, you know, all the things that we did this and we did that. But they were never involved. They were there. They were on the bench. They were in the pew. But they were never involved. Yeah, well, we go over to Hope Baptist Church and we're doing all these things. And we got this veterans dinner every year. And man, I tell you, we just do great things for the veterans. Do you? Well, we got a pastor school every year. I tell you, that pastor school, that is great. And we just really help out those pastors. Do you? What's your vision? What could you do? But a lot of times we don't want to ask what we can do because that'll mean a little extra work. Someone once said, nothing stops an organization faster than people who believe that the way you worked yesterday is the best way to work tomorrow. Maybe the way you did it yesterday doesn't work anymore. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Rick Warren. You're thinking Joel Osteen. And those guys have gone to the extreme of the way that we used to do it doesn't work anymore. I created controversy this week. I had no intention of creating controversy. I know that's hard to believe. It really is. I got a flyer in the mail that I'm supposed to take your kids to this. Rock concert, that's what it is. I'll just be honest with you. Yeah. Up in Ypsilanti at the Eastern Michigan. And, you know, the first band that caught my attention is the band Skillet, which everybody knows really well, Skillet. They're God-honoring Christian music. And there's a bunch of other ones on the front of that. And I just read it, and it irritates me. I don't want this junk. So I took a picture of it, and I loaded it up onto Facebook, and just I said something stupid about it. Oh, my soul. You'd have thought I spit on the Bible. I threw it up there like 8 in the morning, and I worked. I was working through the day, and I popped on and I checked it once, and there were some comments on there, and I thought, oh, whatever. And I left it alone. Then I come back at 1:30, and oh, my soul. I'm telling you what. I mean, seriously, you'd have thought that I went up to heaven and smacked God in the face. It's unbelievable. Here we're saying that these people who look like the world, their music sounds like the world, they're in an environment that is the world, then all of a sudden, you shouldn't judge. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm going to judge. Because it is the world. And if I were to take your kids there, they're going to be involved in something they shouldn't be involved in and something that some of you were involved in when you were lost. But now all of a sudden, well, we have to reach these kids differently. No, you don't. You reach them the same way that I was reached in the same way that you were reached. You preach the word of God to them. You give them the truth. You don't go have Skillet. I mean, seriously? Skillet? You couldn't come up with a better name than that? Something even close to godly? I mean, did they go through Leviticus and just pull out the first kitchen item they could find? Oh, Skillet. There it is. That's the name of our band. It's going to be great. What is that? That is an extreme effort in saying the way that we used to do things doesn't work anymore. Yes, it does. It still works. It will continue to work because you're not going to turn out people that love God and serve God in that mess. It's not going to happen. You can change it all around and you can move it all around, and what they do is they eventually move this. And it's gone. And then in our teen rooms, we have Xbox 360, and we don't even have Sunday school lessons anymore. There's no one even preaching to them anymore. They come to teen group to play video games. That's what they do. I'm sorry, I think they do that through the week enough. Just saying. So I started controversy. Whatever. I went on and I just deleted the whole thing. I was so ticked off. Are you kidding me? I'll justify that garbage. And here's somebody getting upset that doesn't even know the outcome of that. I know someone who was involved in that kind of music, and when he was a teenager in his early 20s, he was in a band, and you know where they ended up? Can I tell you where they ended up? They ended up playing in bars. That's where they ended up playing. Oh, but they love God. It's all okay. No, it's not. Because that's where they'll end up. What's your vision? My vision is for them not to end up in a bar. Or in a roadside ditch. Either way. Whatever one you want to choose. My vision is for that, I don't have to get a text message from Kyle Hicks about he found one of our kids up in Detroit. I don't need that text message. And the way you do that is you don't take him to hear Skillet. It seems logical to me. It really does. And yet it's so difficult. It really is. Because I know what I did. I know I stepped on toes. That's what I know I did. I enjoyed that part of it. But I know why I created controversy, because I didn't run it past my wife first, other I should post it. Somebody asked me, did you run that past your wife first? Like, I didn't. I was at work, she was at home. I figured, I'm going to be my own man today. That's what I figured. That was my vision for the day, to be my own man. Just got me heartache and trouble. That's all it got me. What is your vision for the potential in your church? What do you want to see God do through you and in you when you're a part of this church this year? What do you want to see? You're the only one that gets to choose what that vision is. No one else can choose it for you. It can't force you to become more spiritual. That has to be your desire. That has to be something that you want. Go to Luke chapter 18. In closing, I'll give you three things. If you don't have a vision, some things that you'll have in your life. You need a vision for yourself so you know where you're going. It's kind of hard when you're going on vacation and someone asks you, well, we're going on vacation tomorrow. Where are you going? Well, we don't know. We're just going to get in the car and go. Well, where are you going to end up? Well, we're just not really sure. You know, wherever the road takes us. Well, I mean, well, that's anywhere, really. I mean, depends what road you get on. When you don't have a vision, Luke chapter 18 and verse number 35. It came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Number one, if you don't have a vision, you rely on what you hear. And as we mentioned earlier, that's called hearsay. If you don't know where you're going, listen, this man literally had no vision. But if spiritually you have no vision of where you're going, you're going to rely on hearsay. You're going to rely on somebody else's opinion about where you should go and about what's in front of you. He only knew that Jesus Christ was passing because other people said, hey, Jesus Christ is passing. If you don't have a vision, you'll end up just, you know, hearsay. Whatever comes along, purpose-driven life might be the thing. Whatever nice things some preacher says on the internet or some TV evangelist says. Why? No vision. If you don't have a vision, you'll have to rely on what you hear. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said, occupy till I come. Verse number 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. Another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. If you don't have a vision, you reduce what you have. You reduce what you have. This man ends up losing everything. Now, at the end of the day, he still had what he had started with at the beginning of the day. And that wasn't the point. And that's not the point of you being here on this earth. Is to one day when all of this is over and you stand before God, God doesn't want you to pull out a napkin of what he gave you when you got saved and unfold the napkin. Well, God, I still got it. I still got what you gave me. And the reason you might get to heaven and do that is because you have no vision of where you're going. These other two men, they had vision. They wanted to do something with what God gave them. And if you don't have a vision, you rely on what you hear and you reduce what you have. Go to Proverbs chapter 24. You rely on what you hear and you reduce what you have. Proverbs 24, verse 30. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little slumber, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. If you don't have a vision, you'll ruin what you have. Here's a man that had a vineyard. And because he had no vision for what the vineyard was going to be, he ended up with nothing. And he ruined it. Dad, if you don't have a vision for your life, you'll ruin it. If you don't have a vision for your family, there's potential to ruin it. And if you don't have a vision for Hope Baptist Church, let me say this. You could, by yourself, without a vision, ruin Hope Baptist Church. People that split churches are people that have no vision. Because they're worried about one thing, and one thing only. And that is me and my opinion. What's your vision for this year? What are you looking for God to do in your life? Do you want to have the best year? Or is that just something that Pastor Sal says? Do you want to do the best that you can for God this year? Do you want to do things that you never thought possible in your life could be done for God? Or is that just a dream your pastor has? Have you picked up on that dream at all? Do you have a vision? Dissatisfaction and discouragement are not caused by the absence of things, but the absence of vision. The reason you get dissatisfied and the reason you get discouraged is because you don't have a vision of where you're going. When you come to the end of this year, I'm just doing this year, I'm not even doing a life. Just this year. What will you have because of the vision that you have right now? Or will you be the man in Proverbs chapter 24 that at the end of the day, he ruined everything he had? Or will you be the servant that got the pound and when the Lord came back, he still had the pound? He was still in church. He was still occupying a pew. He talked about spiritual things, but he never did anything with it. Or we'd be the blind guy sitting on the side of the road just going off of hearsay because you never really engaged spiritually with God. Where are you going to be? I'm hoping, if I can, to prod you forward for God tonight. Just to make you think, maybe where I'm at isn't good enough. Maybe the things that I've done, they're not good enough. And maybe, just maybe, I could do more. I could go a little farther. I can have my vineyard, when I get to the end of this thing, actually be something. And I won't be the bad example for other people to look at and to know not what to do. What's your vision? Don't end up dissatisfied or discouraged because you don't have a vision. Don't end up quitting on God because you don't have a vision. Have a vision. Where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. If you have no vision, then don't be upset at the end of this year when you're not any further. If you have no vision and your family's not any closer to God and you and your wife are not any closer to God together, don't get upset. Because you're the one that controls that vision. And if you don't have that vision, no one else is going to have it for you. Let's bow our heads tonight. Where there is no vision, the people perish. What is your vision? What do you want God to do so desperately this year? Do you want God to do something? Or is it just something that, you know, those thoughts in your mind that you never really say? Those thoughts in your head that when they come, you push aside because the reality of God actually doing something like that in your life scares you. The reality of Him taking you and calling you to the field of Scotland freaks you out. So to have a vision of God doing anything else in your life will never happen. And you'll end up being the man with a vineyard. As the piano plays tonight, I want you to sit and think. I'm not going to sing. You know the song. You know the words. The song is, "I Surrender All." The reason you could say that is because you had a vision. Dana Vogelfuhl had a vision for what God could do in his life. And one day Dana told God, "I surrender everything literally that I have. My family, my home, my life to you." And listen, I believe God's going to do great things with Dana. Why? Not because Dana's a great man, not because Dana's a spiritual man, but because Dana has a vision for what God could do. What could God do? Why don't you at least give God the chance this year to use you? Give God the chance this year to do something through you that He's never done before. Dare God to do it. Step out by faith. You and Him. Nobody else has to know. Nobody else needs to know your vision. But step out and allow God to work. I surrender all. Sometimes a scary thing to say, but a needful. If God's spoken to you, don't fight it. You come. You let Him know that you're serious in 2012 about Him doing something. If He spoke, get up. Come. Don't sit there. Don't quench the spirit one more time of Him speaking to you about what He really wants to do in your life. Some of us sit here week after week, and every week God says the same thing over and over and over and over again to us. And we're so stubborn that we'll sit there and still allow Him to say those things and not move and not get up. Why? Because we have no vision of what He could really do. It's getting sad, but the further we go in our generation, the more is we're just reading stories about the great things that God did in the past. What about you one day telling your grandkids of the things that you saw God do in 2012? What about that vision? Have a vision. Get a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish.